Hello, welcome to the Middle East Today, coming to you live from Press TV's international headquarters in Tehran, Iran. I'm Marzieh Hashimi. Today we will be taking a look at the catastrophe that is unfolding in the Gaza Strip. The almost one-month siege on Gaza continues, and the world basically continues to appear inept. The first attempt by an Arab government to help the Palestinians on the Strip came in the form of a Libyan ship, which was loaded with 3,000 tons of supplies and turned back before reaching Gaza. Otherwise, there has been basic silence from most of the governments in the Arab world and Islamic world, while the Egyptian government, in keeping tight control over the only other crossing out of Gaza that is not in the hands of the Israeli, continues to hold tight on that. The question is why the world is watching silently despite warnings by the UN officials that Gaza is on the brink of a catastrophe. Joining us today from Washington, the president of the Middle East Research Center, Richard Hellman. And by phone from Gaza political scientist and analyst from Al-Azhar University, Dr. Naji Shurab. Welcome, both of you. Mr. Hellman, I'm going to pose that question that I said in my opening to you. Why is the world watching silently while this catastrophe is unfolding?
Well, there are several reasons, which I will enumerate. First, the people of Gaza, I'm sure, would like to have a normal life with security and economic development. But their leadership from Hamas and the terrorist groups that operate from the Gaza Strip have turned Gaza into a hellhole. There are mortar shells and rocket shells from Gaza falling each day in Israel. Now, secondly, the situation is such that the Egyptians permit all kinds of supplies, legal and illegal, to flow from the Sinai into Gaza each day. There even are pipelines reportedly for petroleum, for neft, for gasoline, flowing through the tunnels into Gaza each day.
So Mr. Gaza
The third reason is that the terrorist attacks in Mumbai and other things around the world have eclipsed the Gaza situation.
What does that mean, that it has eclipsed it? Does it mean that the international world should forget what's happening in Gaza?
No, but the public attention is clearly turned to the Islamist terrorist attacks in Mumbai, and therefore there is a short attention span, sadly, of the people of the world, and they cannot deal with every crisis every moment. Also, there is the situation that continues in Darfur, where genocide is taking place at the hands of the Janjaweed and the aided and assisted by the government in Khartoum. And then there are the attacks in the Congo and elsewhere. So there are many horrific situations with great loss of life each day. And therefore, Gaza tends to be eclipsed.
Is there any particular reason you think that it is being eclipsed, that the international world has not given the outcry to a lot of the issues even that you have brought out? Do you think there's any particular reason for that?
Yes, I think that it's because the government of Gaza, governed by Hamas, has not stopped the rockets and mortar shells that fly from Gaza each day, nor have they chosen life. If they were to choose life and love instead of death and hatred, they would receive a better hearing from the world. In other words, if they were to stretch out a hand of friendship to Israel, Israel would reciprocate, I am sure.
Excuse me, sir, there are 1.5 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. Are you telling me that it's okay as far as collective punishment, even if, according to you, Hamas is at fault? Is it okay for Israel to basically starve out 1.5 million people in your perspective, sir?
Well, they are not starving because of food and petroleum and all other supplies are flowing in. Are flowing in. Are flowing in from the Sinai each day.
Sir, with all due respect, there is 1 week of supplies left right now in the Gaza forest as far as food supplies. This is being reported by many international agencies that are saying, and also the UN, that there's 1 week left of supplies.
Let me turn to Gaza, please.
I want to get Dr. Schott up in here.
May I answer that?
Go ahead.
The 1 week of supply that they have is 1 week more than there is in many parts of the world, like Darfur and the Congo. And other such places.
Let me get Dr. Schott up here.
The Israelis do not want to starve anyone.
Excuse me, sir. People of Hamas could create something like Hong Kong or Singapore, and instead
they have created a hellhole with the encouragement, frankly, of the government in Tehran.
Okay, Dr. Schott, turning to Gaza, please. Last week, Arab foreign ministers in Cairo decided to send medical and food supplies to Palestinians in Gaza Strip via Egypt and through Rafah crossing. Why did it take Arab countries so long to react to the human catastrophe that has been unfolding?
Here in Gaza, we are more than 1.5 million inhabitants here. We are living under siege. We are living without food, without electricity, without everything. You know that Israel itself is exercising its occupation to all the Palestinian lands. Israel up till now closed all the entrances, all the trails, connecting Gaza with the outside, with the world. I can say to you that here Hamas or whatever the other Palestinian factions have agreed to stop all the all rockets, all the resistance here from Gaza, but Israel doesn't respond to reopen the entrances or the strait, even Rafah, which connects between Gaza and Egypt. For this reason, I think here we are suffering much from this siege, this blockade imposed upon the Palestinians. I think the problem is the occupation. You have to end the occupation. Also, I wanted to say to assure here that there is no at all relationship between what is happening, what's happening in Bombay or other part of the world of what is happening here. We are under occupation. They are not under occupation. I think we have to deal with the problem, not to deal with the sub problems or sub issues resulting from the occupation.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Schott. Let me introduce our next guest from Beirut, Dr. Rania Masri. Introducing our guest who's joined us from Beirut, Dr. Rania Masri. Dr. Masri, welcome to the program. Israel says it ended the occupation of Gaza in 2005, but whenever Israel decides, it will basically, it has complete control over everyone and everything coming out and in of Gaza. What's your perspective on the sovereignty of Gaza?
I have to say, George Orwell would be very proud of the Israeli government, as he would be proud of your guests, for their amazing spin doctoring and their amazing misrepresentation of the truth. What we have happening to Gaza has begun almost a year ago with the siege into this extraordinarily small area with the highest per capita population in the world, the highest populated place in the world. If we're going to claim, as the Israelis try to claim, that Gaza is not occupied, then why have the Israelis been attacking Palestinian fishermen as they try to fish within the Palestinian waters? Why do the Israelis not allow the Libyan ship and the Qatari ship that is coming to go into Gaza via the Palestinian waters? What we have happening right now, and we need to put this into context, the siege on Gaza is very similar and it's consistent with Israeli policies since 1948, and it's consistent with Israeli policies in Gaza since the beginning of the year. What we have happening right now is this alleged democratic state that Israel likes to present itself in has been imposing amazing, intense sanctions, sealing an entirely heavily populated territory of 1.5 million people, not allowing people to even fish in their sea, not allowing UN agencies and other World Food agencies to come in and deliver basic humanitarian assistance to the starving populations in Gaza. What we have happening right now is not only is there a blackout because of a lack of electricity, now there's even a running out of candles. We have a situation where dinner has become not even an option. People now are reduced to having 1 to 2 meals a day. 70% of the population in Gaza, 70% of 1.5 million people right now in Gaza are food insecure. There are certain facts on the ground that no Zionist supporter can reject. One, what we have happening is an act of collective punishment, an entire population being punished. That is a war crime according to the Geneva Convention. This is not negotiable. This is a clear fact on the ground. Second, what we have happening is causing immense suffering to a population of 1.5 million, be it from malnutrition, be it from a lack of hospitals, be it from amazing shortages of basic human necessities. Therefore, it leads us to the question, why is Israel doing this? And why is it being supported, unfortunately, by the European Union
okay,
and
Dr.
by the
Mesri,
United States?
Okay, Dr. Mesri, let me get a reaction from Mr. Hellman. Please, Dr.
Mesri. The international community is not silent. The President of the UN General Assembly has declared the actions committed by the State of Israel to be an act of apartheid, and this is a direct quote.
Okay, let me get Mr. Hellman in, please, and let him comment. Mr. Hellman, your comments, please, on the doctor's, what she's just said.
Yes, what Rania said is not a first-hand observation. She is reporting what she hears, which is largely propaganda. But what I must say is that just as Israel withdrew its peacekeeping forces from Lebanon in the year 2000 and since then has faced a great threat from the Hezbollah terrorist forces supported by the Iranian government, so too Israel withdrew unilaterally in 2005 from Gaza. And Gaza, under either the PLO or under Hamas, could have created a paradise. They could have created a Singapore or a Dubai or a Hong Kong. They could have created an economic superpower, but instead they have created no economic development. They have created a hellhole from which rockets and mortars fly daily. You ask why Israel does this. Israel does this specifically to protect its own security so that it is not subject to Islamist attacks like the people of Mumbai were subject to Islamist attacks. That's why Israel does it in answer to your question. And if you were there, if you were there in Israel, you would do the same thing because Israel must have security. Every nation must secure its own people.
I remember when I went
with the Israelis to Gaza. We would go and drink coffee in Gaza. We would go and have dinner in Gaza. It was a very peaceful time,
and there was no terrorism, and there were no rockets and mortars flying out of Gaza. We want to go back to the situation again. Let the Arabs of Gaza
can sit down and drink coffee in peace and in love and create life and economic development, not create hatred and terror and tax from Gaza.
Allow me to respond. One, it is not propaganda what I am saying. It is a fact that Israel is imposing collective punishment. It is a fact that UNRWA and other UN agents... Oh, allow me to continue. You've spoken at length before. And by the way, we are not on a first-name basis. First, fact that it's collective punishment.
Pardon
fact
me.
That UNRWA and other UN agencies have declared the situation in Gaza to be catastrophic. Those are facts. Facts that the President of the UN General Assembly declared the State of Israel an apartheid state. I've got his press statements. These are clear facts, not propaganda statements. Fourth, since you clear
Let
to present this luxurious idea, this luxurious idea of people of different religions, Israelis, Americans, Palestinians sharing coffee, then I would assume that you would also support the idea that people, regardless of their religion, be they Jews, be they Christians, be they Muslims, be they atheists, deserve the same rights under law, and therefore
yes,
that the state
yes,
of Israel
I
should
agree.
Cease to become a Jewish
let
state
agree.
And should become a secular democratic state. That is the problem.
The problem is that the state
of Israel was designed in the beginning on the concept that we're bringing a people without land to a land without people. And then they were disappointed that they found that the Palestinian state, the Palestinian country, the Palestinian land is inhabited by Palestinians, the majority of whom are non-Jewish. What we see happening in Gaza has been systematic for more than a year. The siege has been systematic for more than a year. If Israel wants to present itself as a state that respects international law, let it respect the Geneva Convention. Collective punishment is a war crime.
Okay, let me get Mr. Helmut.
Mr. Helmut,
you and
like Chief... I would like to agree with a part of what my colleagues
from
I think there should be no discrimination on the part of any state with respect to religion or ethnicity. And so in Israel, the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims all can vote, all can be members of the Israeli parliament, and all can own property. Whereas in Gaza and the PLO-controlled areas are the real apartheid states because no Jews can live under the Palestinian Authority, nor can they live under the Hamas government.
Okay,
and
Mr.
so that
Helmut,
is
let
the
me
real
ask you this
apartheid
question.
State, not
Mr.
Israel.
Helmut,
Israel,
in fact,
is
born.
Israel is the
Mr.
only
Helmut, you and
free,
Chief Ban
democratic,
has said,
secular
Mr.
state
Helmut,
in the Middle East.
Mr. Helmut, are you listening to me? You and Chief Ban Ki-moon said the blockade on Gaza is depriving Palestinians of basic human rights. His voice is deep concern, these are direct quotes, over the consequences of the deteriorating humanitarian situation in Gaza. Another UN official, Karen Abu Zaid, says the human toll of this month's sealing of Gaza's goods crossing was the gravest in 8 years. She says the Gaza residents are not just under occupation, they are under siege. They are completely closed off. And UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, has condemned the blockade of Gaza as a direct contravention of international human rights and humanitarian law. Your comments, sir, you said that this was basically, these are direct quotes from United Nations officials.
Israel will open the borders when Gaza stops the terrorist attacks from Gaza on the Israelis by rockets and mortars and attempts to
what
infiltrate and to blow up
buses
and hospitals in Israel.
Who attacked whom today?
When Gaza controls the security situation,
is it not true that the Israeli offensive
Israel,
forces,
certainly,
that the Israeli
as
offensive
when they pulled out
attacked,
in 2005, will want to have a situation which is peaceful and have a peaceful border with Gaza? Israel gave up settlements and 50 or 60 synagogues, which immediately were razed and burned, razed to the ground by the people of Gaza under the eyes of the government. So it's in Gaza that you have apartheid, where no Jews may live, and where attacks on Jews outside of Gaza occur daily on the order of 7 to 10 rocket or mortar attacks daily. As soon
as Israel controls those rocket attacks, Israel will open all the borders.
I no longer want to comment to anything Mr. Richard is saying, because the man clearly is living on a fantasy land, is not even aware of the Israeli constitution and Israeli laws within the state of Israel.
I do want to
direct my comments to the people who are watching this television show. Oh, well then one comment if I may. Any Jew around the world automatically gets Israeli citizenships, and the Palestinians who were deprived of their homes in 1948 and who were forced out of their homes in 1948 are not allowed to return to their homes. That is apartheid, Mr. Richard. Now, to the audience members, the question to you is, what are you, the audience, going to do to break the siege of Gaza? What are you, the listeners, the people watching this TV show, going to do to break the siege of Gaza? I appeal to you, as a humanitarian, I appeal to you, put pressure on your respective governments. Put pressure on your respective media. We need to break the international silence that's here. We need to promote the words of the United Nations General Assembly President, who declared Israeli policies in the occupied Palestinian territories appear so similar to the apartheid of an earlier era, a continent away. This is
That's
the president
totally
of the UNGA.
That's not
we
true
need
at all.
To be
no
we
similarity.
Need to be putting pressure on our governments to break the siege.
Okay, let me
there
get Mr. Helman in.
Three
Dr. Mastery, please,
about,
I'm almost out of time.
About,
three boats.
Mr.
We need
Mr.
to be promoting
about,
more.
Dr. Mastery, let me get Mr. Helman in.
Mr. Helman,
Mr. Helman, the blockade is now. Mr. Helman, the blockade is now putting
Gaza
at a breaking point. Mr. Helman, can you answer my question, please? Are Palestinians paying the price of their choice of a government?
It's not a question of paying a price for a choice of government. It is a question of reasonable and legitimate security concerns on the part of the Israeli government. And the fact that the Arab nations have been slow to do something about it is, I think, in part a recognition that they have grave concerns about the Hamas terrorist leadership of Gaza, which will not or cannot control its own terrorist forces and others operating in Gaza, which continually shell Israel with mortar and rocket shells on the order of 7 a day. In the hands of the Gaza government,
the definition of terrorism is any act to coerce or intimidate a civilian population in order to get a change in government.
And
this
on that note, I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of you for being with us. I will see everyone next time on the next edition of Middle East Today. Thanks and goodbye.